smooth adjustment, but easy on the curves.
Not a glitch, Daffy Duck. Just got dyslexia, okay?
This out on you! This out on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
Obscure Disney Podcast.
Brought to you by Bad Enough. Take it one game at a time.
To all who have come to this podcast, welcome. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast. I'm Steven.
And I'm Ryan.
And with new episodes coming out every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass to this podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast from? Simply search for the Obscure Disney Podcast or visit us at obscuredisneypodcast.com. Oh, Mickey, it's so nice of you to join us for this super spooky Disney news, rumors, and lies episode.
I was trying to do like a newsies voice, like a 1940s newsie. Does it sound more like Mickey, though?
It sounded a lot more like Mickey to me, but...
Okay, well, that'll work, too.
Mickey is a newspaper salesman.
Sure.
Set in the newsies category.
They do it at California Adventure all the time. So why not?
Yeah, that's true.
We thought we'd do a podcast about just news coming out of Disney and things that are going on at Disney.
Some spooky news, rumors, and lies.
Spooky news.
JK, y'all, we are not talking about anything too spooky today. No.
Well, unless you enjoy having money.
Because
Disney trying to get your money.
What I find spooky is the lack of money. And Disney's stealing all my money. Those are the two things that I find spooky.
Right.
Yeah.
You want me to start off?
Please.
Let's start off by talking about the upcoming content streaming war that will be going on in your household for many people.
Yeah.
Because as of right now, you're kind of looking at like a Hulu/Netflix for most people, right?
Right. We have both.
Right.
Well, I think everybody has both.
Do they? I think some people choose one or the other, but at this point, you're kind of stuck between those. Most people have one or either or both.
Mm-hmm. A few people have like HBO Go and CBS Live.
Oh, right. Yeah, they do stuff like that too.
Yeah.
But Disney and a lot of other companies are about to make it a lot more difficult for you to just have one or two, honestly.
Yeah. I've seen this coming too.
Yeah. Well... Here's the thing is, so what was the company Disney just bought?
They just bought, and I don't think it's completely official yet, but they're buying 20th Century Fox 20th Century.
Oh, okay.
And I think it's now $76 billion that they're buying it for.
If only I had that
right.
Money.
Yeah.
And so Disney has basically announced to the world that next year they are going to be launching their own streaming service.
Yeah, and they've been announcing that for a long time now.
Yeah.
That they were getting their own.
For a long time, have mm-hmm. they? Well, either way. So all of the stuff that you've got on Netflix now, they obviously, Disney, anything that they have their hands on will be pulled off of Netflix. So if you want to watch the animated shows, if you want to watch Star Wars, if you want to watch anything Marvel, all of those things will now be on a Disney streaming service instead.
Yeah, yeah. They've said for a while now that they were going to create their own standalone, and so they nixed the contract saying that they're going to be finishing out the contract with Hulu, and it would be, or I'm so sorry, off of Netflix, and that they were pulling those down and that it was going to be a standalone.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said that there's also going to be potentially like an ESPN standalone that may be interconnected with those two.
Okay.
So that's
like a sports package.
Kind of a package.
And see, this
maybe
is the thing
already
is,
one for
those of us that are older, you know, older and not old, but older. Remember when, cable packages came like that. They're like, oh, you have the sports pack, so you get ESPN 1 through 31 and all these other things, but you don't get, you know, the Disney Channel or Discovery or whatever it is, so you have to buy a secondary package to get, you know, the kids shows, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do it as much now, but it feels like the streaming services are leaning more that direction.
Right.
To where they're like, well, It's great if you want to watch all the original Disney cartoon movies, but if you want to watch Pixar, you have to get this special extension to watch Pixar movies,
right?
You know, or whatever their grand scheme is this time. You know?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. Well, and because I think that DirecTV still does that. They have the sports ticket or the Sunday ticket pass or something that they have a separate thing. I've heard people that watch sports that know something about this.
We are not authorities on this. Is not that kind of podcast.
But you know what I am? I'm an authority. Not really. I'm not really an authority on Disney either, but we just like talking about it a lot. Here's what I find very interesting about the Disney streaming service, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so Hulu, Walt Disney owns currently, the Disney company owns 30%. Fox, 21st Century Fox owns 30%. And then the competitor, NBC Universal, owns 30%. And then AT&T Time Warner owns 10%. But with Disney now owning 21st Century Fox, now they own 60%, competing 30% with the arch rival, Universal, right? Mm. Which is Comcast, which is Xfinity, which is all that other stuff. So I think it's interesting that they're still saying, and there's still so much speculation around the fact that they're now creating a competing app or a competing streaming service that will compete with what they already own, because they're essentially going to own the controlling interest in Hulu going forward.
Mm.
You know, so
with you rattling off all those percents, I felt like I was in Willy Wonka and I was going to be like, that's 110%. Like, I have, you know me in numbers.
Almost the whole thing. But yeah, with a 30-30-30 stake and then just 10% for AT&T, but AT&T owns DirecTV, and yeah, so really it's down to kind of those three companies at this point.
I feel like it's getting a little crazy with these streaming services. I understand that it's a great concept, but I worry that people are starting to spread themselves really thin. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when Netflix first opened? It was literally a wasteland of weird random B movies,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you're like, what is this? And I feel like with everyone breaking off and doing their own, I don't know that there's going to be enough content on all these individual channels to start with to
right.
justify having all these channels.
Well, Disney will have enough content because they've been...
Well, they have everything.
They have everything.
Yeah.
And with them now owning 21st Century Fox and owning all of that content, they're even going to have more of everything.
Right. And so then, do you think that they're just basically cutting a hole in the bottom of the Netflix boat by taking all this stuff,
and that
Netflix is just going to sink?
That is exactly what I was thinking. I was like, what is Netflix going to have after all of this is said and done? It might go back to be more of a movie service.
Well, Netflix also is producing a lot of their own content.
And we've seen a huge ramp up of that recently, like 200 plus movies that they're putting out this year.
And lots of...
None of which I could mention because they're all crap.
They have lots of shows. They have lots of that kind of stuff going on. So I wonder if Disney is planning on producing their own content specifically for their streaming service also.
Yeah.
You know,
it's definitely not a new concept for them. They've owned ABC and
they have the Disney Channel
and Freeform and all the others and everything else they've already had for all these years before. So for them, developing new content isn't at all a new concept for them.
True. I would like to say that my idea for a Pirates show would be perfect for like a Disney streaming channel. Just saying.
Where they take one of the artifacts and create a new episode around each week?
Yeah.
Oh.
See?
Would you make it still with inside the Pirates of the Caribbean world, or would you put it separate?
Like I said, I would remove it from Jack Sparrow and all that kind of stuff. Mm. I feel like Jack kind of rules their movies.
Yeah.
Give us new pirates, give us new people, lots of new characters. That's the fun thing about
that
an episodic kind of thing like that, is that you can mix it up with new characters all the time and people don't feel like they're being inundated with too many characters. You know, even though you're watching the same length of entertainment, people seem to think that if you introduce too many people in a movie, it's too much.
That's
you know?
True.
But if you watch 2 hours of TV and they introduce you to the same number of characters, they're like, that's amazing. Look at all these fun characters. You know,
it's true. What do you think that means, though, for Hulu in the long term, with Disney owning the controlling stock in that, but still competing with Universal? Do you think they're trying to push them out and trying to...
Or maybe they'll take over the Hulu platform. I don't know. Like, they'd have to buy everybody else out to justify taking over Hulu, right?
They're pretty close now. Wow. Because Universal's not going to want to be able to, they're not going to, you know, because it's basically Comcast, right? They're not going to want to be a 30% holder compared to Disney's 60. They're going to be pissed.
I wonder if they're looking into doing their own streaming service, though.
Yeah. Because that's possible. That's who we have our cable TV service through is Xfinity. Mm-hmm. And that's owned by Comcast and Universal and that whole family of people.
It's going to get messy.
Along with NBC. They own NBC and all the NBC affiliates as well. So
business.
Love it, y'all. Love it. If we have any subscribers, let me talk about what's next.
If everyone hasn't tuned out with all these numbers, yuck.
So there was an announcement this week that Disney is opening yet a new hotel at Disney World.
Ooh.
Yeah. It's being said that it's a nature-themed resort. It's opening in 2022. It's going to have 900 rooms, and it's going to be on the site of the old River Country Water Park.
Oh my, really?
That's where they're saying it's going to be built. Huh. They've yet to name the hotel. But it's 900 rooms.
It's not going to be brain-eating fungus hotel.
As attractive of a slogan as that is.
Don't drink the water, hotel. Right?
For those that don't know, do you want to talk about River Country is closed?
Right. River Country closed for a number of reasons.
This fits more into the rumors and lies category.
It is
right?
A little bit more in rumors and lies. It closed for a number of reasons. But they did test the water that actually came from the natural waterways in Florida, and they found a brain-eating bacteria in the water.
Right.
I didn't research this because I didn't know that's where this was, but I don't know that there was actually ever a death connected to that. They just happened to find it in the water, I think.
From what I remember, there was one person that was speculated that died from getting the fungus there. But the resort
could be a rumor or a lie. We don't know.
It could be. It's somewhere in that category. But that the hotel closed years and years and years later after that guy died. I think even...
You mean the park closed? The water park?
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I said.
No, it's not.
In my head.
So it used to be a water park that they allowed water from natural sources in Florida to be in the park. And then it closed for whatever reason. And then... they also mentioned, oh, by the way, there's this brain-eating bacteria that was in the water.
Right.
So now they're building a hotel on that space. Hence the reason why I thought, don't drink the water hotel.
Don't drink the water hotel. Non-H2O hotel. Yeah.
Ugh, that's terrible. That's in poor taste. But, so it's not going to be that.
Not that.
Okay.
No, it's more of a... nature-inspired theme.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They already have one of those, though.
That's what I was thinking, too. And it says that it's right between the Wilderness Lodge and the campground. What was the campground called? Is that the Fort
Camp Minnie Mickey kind of thing?
Something like that. Yeah, it's between Disney's Wild Lodge and Disney's Fort Wilderness Resort and Campground. Between those two is going to be where this one is built, apparently.
So it's more along the same lines is basically what
somewhere that must be that.
Is it going to be a really pricey hotel, or are they trying to make it more moderate?
I don't think that they do moderate anymore.
Oh?
Someone did say that it's going to be part of their expansion on the travel club that they have.
Okay.
That it's an expansion of that. But I think that was more about the villas that are in the back. They haven't given much more detail than that. They haven't even given a name for it.
Well,
the concept rendering is literally just the front lobby. So
you can totally use Don't Drink the Water Hotel if you want.
That's good.
It's all yours.
That's a fantastic name.
It's not. I definitely don't suggest it. But it does totally play into the next thing that I was going to talk about.
Okay.
Because we're talking about price hikes at Disney World.
Oh my gosh.
Those of us that have been going to Disney for a good period of time are not ever shocked by price hikes. They happen very frequently, at least once a year. I think the reason people are talking about it this year is because it's the second time this year that they've hiked up their prices.
Right.
So they did a price hike in February, and then this last week,
apparently,
they jacked up the prices again on us. So this year, prices for annual passes have gone up 15%.
Wow.
Which is substantial.
It's good if you can get it.
Yeah. This is a discussion that you and I have had before. One of the reasons I feel like they're willing to keep on jacking up these prices is because people keep paying them.
Well, the economy's been so insanely strong for the last 7 or 8 years now that they have been, that Disney's benefited from that for sure. That seen that the parks have been crowded beyond belief, much stronger than they were back in when we first started going, you know, back. People have had the money. They've had the money to be able to do it. And they, Disney's definitely capitalized on that as well.
And I feel like people these days are very much of the mindset of, it makes me happy. I'm willing to sacrifice a little bit to go there because it makes me happy to be there.
Yeah.
Right. We're in a very tumultuous time for a lot of people. And so a little bit of happiness, even if it comes at a price, is totally worth it for most people.
Right.
And I feel like you said, Disney is benefiting greatly from that. Because everyone's like, of course, I'll go to Disney. Disney makes me happy, you know? But I feel like they keep on pushing the prices up, hoping that it will ease some of the crowds by pricing out some people. And it doesn't seem to be working.
Well, yeah.
I don't know if people are just ignoring that or if there are just more people getting in, you know, going. But it's... it doesn't seem like pricing up is pushing anybody out of those parks.
Right. Well, what makes me so upset with the price hikes that they keep announcing is then they keep bringing back the regional discount passes, depending on which state you're talking about. And that's a whole nother thing that I have a whole 20 minutes to talk about, y'all. So we're going to have to talk about this on another episode, but why not eliminate those? You know?
Right.
Anywho. That's a separate point that we'll talk about later. That is a different
thing.
But with this one, we definitely knew that we saw this one coming the second that they announced that Galaxy's Edge was being built in both parks. We said, well, there went our season passes, because there's no way we're going to be able to pay the price that they're going to be asking for those passes during that time period. And when you get the pass, you're never going to be able to make it into those parks because the lines are going to be so dramatic.
Yeah.
It's not as bad, I think, in Disney World, because they're building it in Hollywood Studios, which is a smaller park than it is at Disneyland. But Disneyland is already the signature park of all parks.
Right.
And that's where they're adding it. So that park is going to be horrendous to get into.
I saw a meme this last week, and it said plans for Galaxy's Edge have been released by Disneyland.
Okay.
And it showed, it said Galaxy's Edge, and it showed it in a red color, and then it said queue area for Galaxy's Edge, and it was the entire rest of the park.
So essentially Main Street. You're gonna walk in Main Street and just stop,
just be in line for Galaxy's Edge at Main Street.
Yeah, because there's been a lot of people that have been there videoing lately talking about the fact that there is not really a good queue area to get into that area.
No, it's going to be a madhouse.
Right, and essentially, really, even though it seems like a big expansion, it's really the size of Cars Land at California Adventure. It's only that size.
It's pretty small.
So to put that, to put the, all of that in, but it's only going to be 3 rides as well or something.
Two. To start with, sometimes they tend to expand afterward, but is it really worth the price hike? And the question, it's not really a question of if, unfortunately, because a lot of the Star Wars fans will pay anything.
Of course they would.
You look at Universal with Harry Potter.
Yeah.
When they opened Harry Potter, all of a sudden it became a very desirable park to get into. And I feel like Star Wars will do the same thing for a park that's already insanely popular, which means I feel like they will pay any price to get in to see the Galaxy's Edge stuff.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate because it's going to be super crowded.
Especially in the California Disneyland park. It's going to be pretty bad. The fact that they're building that separate standalone hotel at Disney World, that's going to be so incredibly cool, right?
That right. Star Wars themed one. Star Wars themed hotel that they're building.
How phenomenal is all of that? Like, that's fantastic.
Well, and it's interesting because they're building it alongside this new one that you just talked about, too. It's in addition to.
Yeah, combined with the other hotels being built, there's going to be a total of 1,700 new rooms that are currently being built for Disney World.
So obviously they aren't expecting a crowd decrease either, even with price increases and things like that.
Nope, that's not what they are anticipating at all. So
I mean, and who can blame them? They're so busy already, and then adding in Star Wars, is only going to get them more and more popular.
I am curious, though. Like I said, they've benefited from a really strong economy. Mm-hmm. And I know that over time we're going to continue having that. But I wonder, you know, if a recession were to hit again right now, what impact that would have on the Disney company. I would assume that they're planning for it. I don't know.
Well, and yeah, because luxury items immediately are the first thing
first to go. And if you, like we've talked about recently, if you're a family going to Disney, like you and I, we know how to go there on $1.50 and a can of Coke, but families spend upwards of thousands. A
family of four?
Could spend.
Because literally, I was looking at it, the price for a platinum pass, which I don't know that a family would get a platinum pass, but the platinum pass is no blackout dates for a Disney trip. Ooh. Right, which is fancy, and right? I don't know that you would do that with a family of four, but they are $894 a person.
Wow.
So let's just round up and say $900 a person,
right,
for a family of four. You better be bringing in the Benjamins to pay for that, because that doesn't include your hotel or food or souvenirs or anything along right. those lines. So the cost of Disney, I feel like they are doing a really good job at pricing people out, but unfortunately, it's not pricing out everybody.
Because if you're a family of four going, you're paying $130 a day. I think that if you buy the packages from Disney, they advertise it as like $95 a day, right? For the hotel room, if you're going for a week-long vacation.
Sure.
I'll have to look into that a little bit to see about how much that costs. Do you think you could do it for $3,000 or $4,000 for a week?
Either way, that's a lot of money for... For a working class family to say, we're going to drop $3,000 on this vacation.
Yeah.
That's a real commitment.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is sad that Disney wanted this to be a family park where families could go. And I feel like it's slowly pushing. Well, I feel like it's pushed out of that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's unfortunate that, you know, to keep the company going or whatever their justification is for the pricing, they're pricing families out of a family park.
True. P.L. Travers called it a money printing machine.
She did. You can't blame her.
And I would like to buy one of those, please.
Yeah, thank I'll take you. Two. But it's like I always say, extra, extra, read all about it. Disney's trying to get your money. But until next time, follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger Disney point to the exit, and we'll see you then on the Obscure Disney Podcast.